I follow the politics of porn. Porn politics. You know, in California, they tried to make it so that if you were doing porn, you had to wear a condom. You know, and during COVID, they're trying to say you have to wear a face mask, a face shield, and rubber gloves when you make love, you know. Kentucky Senator Roy Ashburn tried to say that this is the most egregious policy. He tried to say that if you want to do porn, you and your co-star have to be in love. Can you imagine that? That's disgusting.
Was at a mass for All Souls Day, and I didn't think it would go that long.
Like, yeah. Like you're a cult practice?
Well, no. It's a Catholic mass.
Catholic?
Yeah.
What is your religion, Jack Steiger?
I was raised Catholic, but I certainly got a much more... my spirituality has kind of evolved over the years, but a lot of the magic that I do is rooted in, like, it's, I do a lot of Catholic stuff because it's relatively safe. You and I were corresponding about demons and like
that, demons. Yeah. I think you mean daemons.
No, it's demons.
There's a big distinction between daemons.
Well, daemon is like a concept that I think is slightly different than demons. Demons are, you know, in religion, they're seen as fallen angels, and they may very well be that in the demons that do exist. But daemon is like it's a different topic, or it has something to do with like. I've heard it, Greek philosophers talk about the daemon being like your kind of true self, that you're kind of almost your core self. Yeah, so you kind of your override, almost like the kind of, because the thinkers of antiquity kind of had this idea that your thoughts aren't really your own, and that when you kind of think about something, what you're doing is you're kind of consulting another spirit or committee of spirits, and I think they were right. But so daemon kind of comes in there. Demons are a different kind of thing, like demon, and also not super safe to deal with. They're tricky and they seem to hate mankind, generally speaking. Yeah,
more of a destructionist aspect. This is Highway Diary episode 272.
Oh, yeah.
With my returning guest, Jack Steiger. It is freezing outside in New Jersey. We are at the Brighton Bar.
Do you want this?
No, I'm okay.
All right, yeah.
I can tuck. You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to tuck. My fanny is where some of the heat is exiting. I want to ask you this question. I want to be serious about this.
Uh-huh.
By the way, I want to say on the record, I will not edit this.
Okay, fair enough.
How many times a week do you torture your grandpa? And what I mean by this is you ask him, why don't you love me anymore? Am I wrong about this?
No, that's not...
Grandpa! Grandpa, yeah. He's pissing into his deathbed, you know? Grandpa, why don't you love me? What is your politics?
Yeah, he's well. You see, what I'm doing there is what I'm trying to do is I'm trying to produce content, because I think that the future of comedy, I think, is not, or in the kind of the medium to long term future, I don't think it's going to be live stand up. It's going to be these things like TikTok videos and reels or what have you. So I'm trying to produce content there. I'm also just trying to spend time with him, because I think that helps him.
What percentage of your visits with your grandpa are spending time with him, and what percentage of the time that you spent with your grandpa is torturing him for social media benefit for the glorious gratification of your comedy career, Jack Steiger?
80-20.
It's like a beef.
Yeah.
20% torture?
I would say 20% torture, but it's not really torture. It kind of, I am kind of prodding him a bit. I am kind of just trying to, because I think it isn't really causing him upsetment. I know what causes him upsetment, and I've seen him upset, and that's, what I'm doing is just, he thinks I'm going crazy.
He's consoling you.
I think in some
during your fits of rage.
They're not rage. No, I don't really get rageful.
Your fits of an unclarity.
Yeah, I just like being silly because I just think it's funny and people like him. Like he has this very calm, placid manner, and it's and he has a very he's very very smart. He's a smart person. But he's extremely, he has very rigid views and a way of looking at things. And so it kind of comes across as like this very plain simplicity. And I think people like it. You know, he's 90. And yeah. It's very quaint. And it's not exact. It's almost an anachronism, you know, something out of time, you know.
What is your magical practice?
Well, technically, I'm a chaos magician. And that doesn't sound... Chaos Magician either sounds really cool to you or really disgustingly geeky. But to define a Chaos Magician, it's sort of like... It's essentially cultural appropriation as a spirituality. And I say that half in jest. Because basically, Chaos Magic may be more... It might be more right than wrong to describe it as the MMA of magical systems, because with chaos magic you're taking from various systems. Basically you're looking for things that work. Chaos magic is kind of very about results. It's not necessarily about, you know, the, you know, entering an order and following rules and stuff. It's not really about rules, it's about results.
Can I talk about this? I was indoctrinated at the New School University in experimental theater. And my contention with experimental theater is, oh, you put chili on your cock and you ran around to this soundtrack. What was the result? I mean, it's an experiment, hypothesis, experiment, result. If you're an experimental theater, you should be experimenting. The result is everyone was disgusted when you wore the Brie helmet and shat on the prom.
Yeah.
What is the result of... So what would you say the chaos magic results are scientifically?
Well, it's all about objectives. Like, you know, you can use magic to achieve a lot of things. You can use it to, you know, bring romance into your life, which I've done. You can use it to get a job. You can use it to do all kinds. You got to think about your goals. So basically, the results have been, you know, varied, and I have to say many. And I'm not trying to boast there. That's just more...
What are some results?
I definitely...
spoke to your romantic life.
Yeah, no, that there was definitely some early. That was something I really kind of focused on early on, which was what it was. But I've used that. You know, it's just general improvement in luck. You know, like what are some things that I've achieved? I think that I've achieved. I've used like hoodoo techniques to make people like me more. And I do that in a kind of occupational sense. Like, I like to ninja...
Can I tell you this about your personality and your, you know... you have definitely stood me up. You have definitely... But then I stood you up back, you know? And then in the back of my mind, I was like, you know, normally, a normie, I would say, fuck this person. I tried.
Yeah.
Something subconsciously, some sort of drive. I'm always thinking in the back of my head, okay, whatever. I wonder what Jack Steinker's doing right now.
Is that right? Well, I mean, I certainly didn't perform any magic on you, and I didn't mean to stand you up. If I recall...
I'm just saying in general, whether we have a scheduled on the calendar meeting or not, I find myself often going,
oh, yeah.
What's Jack Steiger doing right now?
That's interesting. No, that's really...
What sort of chaos magic has been drawing me to you?
Well, you know, frankly, that might just be your curiosity about it, you know? You might, you know, we were texting and... Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. So, that could be it. You know, I kind of noticed that our schedules never kind of aligned, so I was wondering, and I was actually, like, earlier today when I was at that thing that where I was, that delayed me, I was wondering, like, I felt like there's some kind of weird thing where it's just, this second podcast doesn't seem to want to happen. and I was thinking that there might be some kind of spiritual reason for that.
Right.
But, like, there might be some kind of weird, I don't know, like, one of your ancestors is not
one
wanting to talk
ancestors.
To
mine. What are your magical mentors? Do you have any magical chaos magic mentors?
You know, I was thinking about this, at first I didn't think I really had a mentor per se. You know, there's people I go to on the internet for guidance and, you know, learning techniques from. Frankly, though, it kind of occurred to me, there's this, he's actually a saint, who's very popular in, Western occultism, and has been for the last, you know, 5-10 years maybe, Saint Cyprian of Antioch, and, I do, like, a kind of, you know, set of prayers to him every Saturday, I have an altar to him, and, it occurred, like, I prayed to him for help with magic, because he's actually the story is that he was initially a pagan sorcerer and he converted to Christianity and died for the faith. Mm. But he still knew magic, and like in some versions of the story, he was actually for his flock, because he became a bishop, he would still, I guess, low-key practice magic. So it's still kind of... Certainly, Saint Cyprian... is very interested in magic, and I think he is probably the primary mentor. And I look back, I probably should appeal to him more as a mentor. Like
you have a shrine to him. How much more is he a live person?
Well, he's certainly he is certainly. Oh, I would say yes. He's alive as a he's a spirit. Like, and you can, like, I felt his presence. He's shown up in dreams. He's, you know, I've seen, you know, I kind of take very seriously the contents of what people call the imagination. But, you know, he shows up. You get, and he'll show up, you'll feel the presence, and then he'll show up in your mind if your mind is clear enough and you trust the contents of your mind. Mm. So he is alive, yes. I mean, there isn't a physical incarnation of him as far as I'm aware. I've had some suspicions that perhaps he, you know... Well, he's alive, is what I'll say.
What is the difference between a voice of your mentor in your mind and the term that Western medicine has coined, schizophrenia?
That's an interesting question. And I don't think we in the West have the right attitude on the mind.
I mean, hearing voices is not good for your mental health?
Well,
or is it?
Going back to what I said earlier about the Greeks, like they had, and it go even further, there was this idea that when people would think, they considered it listening to someone else. They didn't identify with their thoughts. The thoughts would come and articulate ideas and words, but they would view that as someone talking to them. And eventually, as time went on, there was this kind of materialization of the Western worldview, and
materialization of thoughts passing through your antenna.
People just think about thoughts as these, they think of them as like these like little clouds that are churned out by this machine that is the brain. And I don't think that that's the right way of looking at it. I think we got it wrong at some point in history. And I think we kind of threw out a lot of baby with the bathwater. you know, a lot of precious babies.
Oh, you're hearing voices. Oh, we should put probably strap you to a table.
Well, the thing,
and stuff you with lithium.
I think people now, because they don't take seriously the contents of their mind, will that we have a very unhealthy relationship with the imagination and the subconscious, and I think that that does. We suppress the significance of it, and I think that that does result in a lot of mental illness. And I think that schizophrenics, we're handling them very poorly. And I think that when schizophrenics who see and hear things, you know, frankly, if they were in a different culture, in a different context, they might be shamans. But we don't handle them. We treat them like they're crazy. We tell them they're crazy. We get them to believe that. And then they reject these things coming. And they, you know, schizophrenics, you know, something I've heard more than once is that shamans tend not to live very happy or joyous lives. It tends to be like, if you choose to be a shaman, you're not really a shaman. Being a shaman chooses you. So even in this other context where you have... where we take these schizophrenics and put them in, and this is a broad statement. I might be being a little glib with this, but they might still have unhappy lives because they're kind of broken. But through their being broken, they can see and hear things that most people can't.
I mean, broken meaning broken in society, but their only thing that continuously they've paid attention to is the spirituality of things.
Well. The spirituality, if I understand your question correctly, it's not so much that schizophrenics are subject to the spirit world. Yes. It's coming to them in some instances.
Okay, now I have a very serious question for you. This is the entire purpose that I had you on my podcast to ask you this question.
Yep.
Now, and is apropos because you delayed the podcast because you were at some Catholic gala of spirituality with some kind of moron. My feeling is that my religion is comedy. This is the holy temple of the ha-ha. My spiritual high priest of the ha-ha is Tom Rhodes. He is my mentor in everything I ever do with my life. Tom Rhodes is my priest, my mentor, everything. There's an altar of him in my mind. I think of him every day. Why not, instead of do your practices, focus everything, and I mean everything, shrines, all that, in writing jokes, dick jokes, pussy jokes, spirituality jokes? Why not focus everything on comedy? Comedy is a full religion. Why are you in both worlds?
Well, you know, I use magic to achieve things. That's how it started. And, you know, going back to the idea of, like, the results that I've got, like, I definitely think that I've successfully used magic to have, like, I ran a very successful show with Joey Posada and Angela Gingerelli for a while.
Via magic.
I believe I did actually accomplish that by magic. I did, I think,
You were not booked on certain shows and were rageful to those that didn't book you. Rageful, openly rageful.
There was a performative aspect. Like, I was kind of trying to embody a kind of...
Daemond of jealousy.
But I was kind of trying to... Like, you kind of have, like, the archetype that kind of archetype of the, like, bitter... insanely bitter and angry comic is sort of an archetype that you see with, like, you know, Marc Maron, for example.
It's exactly how I've lived my life, so tread carefully here.
Yeah, no, I'm not saying...
Because I have vengeful rage for you.
No, I was just saying that I have that... I was trying to kind of be amusing about it. And, it, you know, my... Whatever my... former beefs in comedy were like. I definitely don't think I definitely kind of relished in the conflict. There is a elements of my personality that kind of enjoys that, and it's reflected in my natal chart, I have to say.
Birth chart,
yeah,
which you asked me about.
I didn't get around to looking at your natal chart, but it is so interesting.
It's 6/14 Halloween. I said 6/23
yeah,
via text. Okay. It's actually 6/14 a.m. Halloween 85.
I'll have a look at your natal chart because that would be interesting, and it does actually work. Like astrology was one of the when I was getting into magic.
Kind of information, if you look up my natal chart, what kind of information can I expect?
Well, I can probably I would be able to tell a few things about your personality, most likely. It would probably contextualize a lot of things about you. If I had a discussion with you about it, like, I'm not an astrologer. I have a very general understanding of astrology. More so than most people, maybe most magicians. I wouldn't count myself as an astrologer. But let's say you went to an astrologer and you, like, a actual professional astrologer and a good one, and you had them do your natal chart, you could get a lot of information about not just your personality but about your past and about your future and like the challenges that you're going to face in the near term to long term future, as well as like the thing you can strategize around it. It's actually extremely useful. It's an extremely important part of my
to do
practice.
With this, you know, natal charts, summoning of entities, certain dates are more potent.
Auspicious, yeah. That's for sure.
So I texted you, one of the things I texted you, Jack Seiger, and please allow me a little space here. Will you help me summon an entity wearing robes in the woods, possibly naked underneath, to help me summon entities to do with the goals of my life with the aid of techniques of Greco-Egyptian magic by Dr. Stephen Skinner? Will you help me summon entities with this book?
No, and I'm going to recommend that you don't do that. You
should. Why is it dangerous?
I mentioned earlier in the podcast, demons. Well, you said summon an entity, so I guess it would depend on the entity. But when you go into, like, the wild, like the woods, that's like a kind of liminal space, and it is occupied by all manner of things. And you might, if you don't get it right, something can go wrong.
Now, what if I stay inside the pentagram? Let's say we draw a chonk pentagram. I stay inside that.
I think you mean like a protective circle. In that case, yeah. You see, you would, you know, again, going back, like, did you make the circle correctly? And, you know, did you consecrate it? Or is the being powerful enough to break it? I've heard at least one story of someone having a circle around them and the demon was just like, I don't care about this. And it does work in a lot of cases, but sometimes it doesn't.
It depends what kind of swamp monster you have invoked.
Well, it would depend on...
And how much adrenochrome Hillary Clinton drank that week.
It would also depend... It would depend on also your, like, kind of fortitude, right? Like, or and your skill and knowledge. Like, the kind of stuff that Stephen Skinner is extremely rigorous. He has a reputation for being extremely rigorous as a magician. And he's a good magician, but his stuff is... He's very... There's many ways to skin the magical cat, to borrow a term from Skinner's name. It's his way is the kind of the grimoire method. So,
how has your magical practice caused you harm?
How has it caused me harm? I've had a lot of sleep disturbance from it. Like, you know, I'll go in.
Are entities waking you up at night to speak to you?
Well, it happened earlier, early on. When I first started practicing magic, I had, like, some sleep paralysis episodes because I attracted the attention of a lot of probably, like, local spirits or spirits that I picked up along the way. just like walking around, and they would see me and understand that I would have done something somewhere. I remember one time I was in New York a lot, and I think I picked up something from New York, and I started getting these like sleep paralysis episodes.
So you're a poorest host. You have pores.
Well, that was early on, and I didn't really think much about cleansing and protection. And then when I started, you know, paying attention to that area of magic, then that seems to have stopped. But
has it caused you to make the wrong decision in your 3D reality life?
I mean, you know, there have been some times where I think
As you said, the Joey B show was going well because of your... Has it caused you harm to be porous and easily infiltrated by negative entities?
I mean, I certainly have made bad decisions. Well, again, going back to the sleep disturbance thing, like, I did a lot of... There was one instance where I went to a graveyard. I was going around to various graveyards to kind of... wake the dead and kind of get them on my side, because you can actually use graveyards to curse people. Like, you can actually corral the souls of the dead in a graveyard, and you can get, because a lot of people who are there's some utility in there for Malefica, which is kind of attack magic, cursing people, and you can get
Maleficent
magic. Malefic, but so. You can get, like, the hungry and restless dead to go after somebody.
Sure,
if you don't, if you really want to get them. So, like, I experimented with, like, going to various graveyards and waking them up and trying to get them to kind of, you know...
Smite your enemies?
Well, I would announce myself to them, and then I would, you know...
That didn't book you on a show you want to be on?
But, the...
Or did you smack their head off?
No.
Via an agent.
But, so I... Yeah, so... But definitely, sometimes when you engage in certain like activities, like you know, like coming home from a graveyard, more than once I've kind of had these like weird hypnagogic visions, and I can't fall asleep, and I like have seen a lot of weird stuff.
So I went to DC, where my brother lives, and we went to a cemetery, okay? So we were ghost hunting for funny times.
Yeah.
Halloween's my birthday, right?
Right.
We were ghost hunting for funny times. Uh-huh. What did we see? We saw someone doing yoga over a grave. A very, very aggressive sort of yoga over a grave, and we, you know, went there, and we came back. And we pass this person going into the graveyard. We pass this person going out of the graveyard. Do you have any idea what this person was engaged in?
Not offhand. I mean, it was probably not the best thing to do, yoga in a graveyard over somebody's grave.
One grave. They pick one person that they were doing the
perhaps
yoga for.
Perhaps this was someone they knew in life. And it was some kind of veneration, or but I would say I think that maybe that they were just doing it because yoga has a spiritual element to it. It's not just like stretching. There is some part of it which is, you know, dare I say, magic. But maybe this person was trying to, like, experiment. Because graveyards are kind of liminal spaces as well. Like, because it's sort
any
of like...
Any sort of entity could...
Not necessarily any sort of entity. But you're kind of in a place that is kind of this world and of the spirit world, right? Because you have the dead there, and they're being memorialized there. And they're present. A lot of times they're sleeping, you know?
So
this person probably did something very bad. I don't think that this person would... In my opinion, that's so stupid. Like, you know, it's... Like, when I go into graveyards, like, I give, like, an offering to the guardian of the graveyard. And then I... You know, I'm very quiet, and I'm respectful, and I pay attention. And typically, I'll pray for the dead, and then I'll leave, and then I'll cleanse. Like, even if I don't feel like I need to, I'll cleanse.
So let me ask you this. I read through very much of Dr. Skinner's book here.
Right, yeah.
Techniques of Greco-Egyptian Magic. It calls very much for honey and milk. You know, the milk and honey is California. Well, the land of milk and honey. What a beautiful place this is. Olive oil, this and that. Sacrifice. So when I read animal sacrifice, I'm thinking, the Egyptians probably thought human sacrifice, right? Am I wrong?
Well, human sacrifice. I don't know too much about human sacrifice.
What about animal sacrifice?
Animal sacrifice, yeah. Well, you see, it's kind of like something. I heard it once described, like, I'm paraphrasing, but the person, I heard it described as like, spirits delight in rearranging the material world in the same way that we kind of delight in, like, getting interaction from the spirit.
Right,
from
between the living and the dead, if you can kill for them and grease this, then they're like, I saw that goat. You know, it's this channel of the living and the dead.
Well, it's something like, symbolism is very important. A lot of times, again, going back to the idea of the materialization of the Western worldview, like, we don't take symbols seriously. Like, we're like, oh, a symbolic gesture. And it's like, but we, if you are subscribed to that materialist paradigm, it's just empty. But symbolism is a huge part of magic. And, like, if you fast, like, if you dedicate a fast to, you know, the souls in purgatory, right? You're depriving yourself of food for their benefit, right? That's one example.
Because
so
you're closer to death as a starving person.
There's something
the
about
deprivation.
Well, that's. I mean, I think. You kind of know what you're talking about there, but, like, it's not exact. It's more like when you deprive yourself of something, you
sacrifice.
Get their attention. Like when you
suffering.
If you're going in the jungle to do ayahuasca, you are told, like, you're on at least certain traditions, you're supposed to fast for an extended period of time. And there's something about breaking out of the pattern of eating. This is how I heard it described once, and I like it a lot. But it's like, when you break out of the pattern of normal day-to-day eating, you're more visible somehow. Like, when you're eating 3 square meals, like, you're locked into, like, a kind of a line, like a conveyor belt that kind of keeps you locked in. But, like, I fasted on Halloween. And it's quite an interesting experience, and it definitely. I think fasting potentiates. It makes you more. Perhaps it makes you more clairvoyant.
The breaking of routine.
Yeah, because there's, you know, going back to that symbolic thinking.
9 to 5.
Yeah.
Well, like, what is wrong with working 9 to 5?
I'm not saying there's anything wrong with 9 to 5, but I'm just saying, like, you're trying to, like, you know, when you go on vacation or if you travel, you're more creative, and that, like, that's one way of, like, just,
you get downloads.
Well, that's one way of looking at it. Yeah.
This is Jack Steiger. What a fascinating person. He's been in. I've been waking and going, oh, I want Jack Steiger on my podcast. You know what I mean? Because he has a shrine to, you know what I mean? He fasts. I don't know. I've been thinking about him. This is episode 272. The short one, but we got him.
All right. Well, thank you, Eric.
Thanks, buddy.
This was nice.
Do you have any plugs or any way people can find what you do?
You can find me. I'm on Instagram, and I'm bringing a podcast that I used to do back. It's
the
called
Steiger
The Steiger Tapes.
Tapes.
I'm bringing that back. So
when are you going to have Dr. Hollerbach?
You will say that would be an interesting episode, I think.
Okay. Cool. And you can go to erichollerbach.com, click on stand-up specials. I have some stand-up specials there, including Lost Bits and crowd work. But thanks to my guest, Dr. Jack Steiger. 272. Bye-bye, everybody.
All right. Thank you.
That was awesome.
Thank you.